Today we have Delep, which is to the tune of Howard or Dublin, depending on which version of it I guess we sing that day. And so this is the fourth part of Psalm 119 in our way back through the Psalms. And we're going to hum a little bit just to get us all rolling again, right? Precepts way when thou my heart enlargest hast. That should be something we keep in mind as God shows us new things out of His Word, for sure. We also have Psalm 5 on our list of tunes. That's the right one on that screen. Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation way. Hear my love cry, my King, my God, for I to thee will pray. Lord, thou shalt early hear my voice, I early will direct my prayer to thee, and looking up, an answer will expect. For thou art not a God that doth in wickedness delight, neither shall evil dwell with thee, nor fool stand in thy sight. All that ill doers are thou hast, cut off that liars be. The bloody and deceitful man abhorred is by thee. But I into thy house will come in thy abundant grace, and I will worship in thy fear toward thy holy place. Because of those mine enemies, Lord, in thy righteousness, do thou me lead, do thou thy way, make straight before my face. For in their mouth there is no truth, their inward part is ill. Their throat's an open sepulcher, their tongue does flatter still. O God, destroy them, let them be by their own counsel quelled. Them for their many sins cast out, for they against thee rebelled. But let all joy that trust in thee, and still make shouting noise. For them thou savest, all that love thy name in thee rejoice. For, Lord, unto the righteous man thou wilt thy blessing yield. With favor thou wilt compass him about as with a shield.
I think that there is one verse I want to point out in here. It talks about worshiping before God in fear. I think that that is definitely something we should keep in mind. Says God, He is not a God that in wickedness delights, neither shall evil dwell with Him, nor fools stand in His sight. And I think that's important, because we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. We can never stand before Him falsely. Psalm 6 is to the tune of Woodworth, Schultmeter.
Lord, in thy wrath rebuke me not, nor in thy heart rage chasten me. Lord, pity me, for I am weak, heal me, for my bones vexed be. My soul is also I with my groaning weary am, I also owe the night my bed, have God's boat for to swim, and I with tears my couch have washed. My night consumed with grief grows old, because of all mine enemies, and from me wicked workers all, for God hath heard my weeping cries. God hath my supplication heard, my prayer received graciously. Shamed and sore vexed in all my foes, shame them, back turn it suddenly.
Amen. Well, we will end there in psalm singing. We have, everybody has a pamphlet there with them. We have Psalm 110, which we'll use for ending. And we're going to work through the very first of Hebrews 8:13 through 9:15. 8:13 is attached to it because that's actually where the statement begins in it. And then we will save the other two in ending. And we'll grab our Bibles and we'll read from Leviticus chapter 16 for our responsive reading. In that God saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old.
Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first veil,
which is called the sanctuary.
And after the second veil, the tabernacle,
which is called the holiest of all.
Now when these things were thus ordained,
the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God.
But into the second went the high priest alone,
once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people.
The Holy Spirit this signifying,
that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest.
No, not yet while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices.
These gifts did not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience.
Amen. And so we will end right there and we'll grab our Bibles. Leviticus chapter 16. All of it is on the cover of our... This will be a long reading, but it's pertinent to what we're going to study today. It's also pertinent to the time that we are in right now. Coming into the Day of Atonement, which is a day which this refers to here, not tomorrow, but the day after. And so this is what should have been done in the tabernacle that we just read about out of the book of Hebrews, one of the divine services. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died.
And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.
Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering.
He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so to put them on.
And he shall take one of the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering.
And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house.
And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And Aaron shall cast his lot upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat.
And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering.
But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and so for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the first offering, or sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil.
And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times.
Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness.
And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel.
And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and he shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about.
And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel.
And when he hath made an end of the reconciling of the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat.
And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away of the goat, and shall send them away into the hand of a fit man into the wilderness.
And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness.
And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there.
And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people.
And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar.
And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp.
And the bullock of the sin offering, and of the goat of the sin offering, in whose blood was brought, and to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung.
And he that burns them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come unto the camp.
And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, that ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or of a stranger that sojourneth among you.
For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord.
It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever.
And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate, minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and make an atonement for the priests and all the people of the congregation.
And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins, once a year, and as he did, the Lord commanded Moses.
Amen. So, obviously, we'll end there. It's a pretty long read. And so I'd like to draw attention to the fact that there's multiple atonements listed. Most people think of the Day of Atonement as in one, but it's actually atonements plural. And that was represented in all of those things that were stated there. And it's also interesting to note what the author of Hebrews said. He said, by all those services, it did nothing for a man's conscience. And so we're going to discuss that a little bit more. If you'd like, you can be seated. So the day after tomorrow, our family, in observation of what we just read at the end of that, we'll be fasting and praying for our nation every hour, as well as for our own family and our kindred, in remembrance of that everlasting covenant that was mentioned there. And so one of the reasons why I'm mentioning it is because oftentimes we go a long time in our life not thinking about the depth of prayer and fasting that God commands only once a year. He actually does not teach us anywhere else in the Bible where it says there's a requirement to fast for any other reason. And so it is a thing that we neglect on a regular basis. And I think it's important. It's important to notice that you cannot atone for your sins by fasting. It's an impossibility. Only Christ atones for our sins. But it is a memorial to be kept, and I think it's something we should all give heed to and ask ourselves, when's the last time we've actually put our minds in remembrance in a way that literally causes you to even express the same amount of care that the priest had to go through just once a year? How often do we go through that in our own spiritual lives in order to consider our own sin, our own iniquity, our own transgressions? Nevertheless, that of our nation and our family, our children and our countrymen, you know, that's something that's supposed to remind us of. And then we have days of thanksgiving. God gives many days of thanksgiving and one day of fasting. I always find that to be interesting, but nevertheless, that's how it is. And so today in our Bible study, I'm going to put a message forth for you, and I would title it The Nature of Atonement. The Nature of Atonement. And so that's exactly the subject matter I want to cover, is what is the nature of atonement?
Rise for ending. We're going to sing Psalm 110. Hey, Levi, grab me a copy of the Nicene Creed. I'm going to be going. Oh, it got put in here.
Yeah, it's in the back.
Not in mine.
Do not know.
No. Come a few lines for Wallace. We'll get all tuned up here when we get situated. Thank you.
Catechistic lesson from Hebrews 9:22-28, which is on the back side of that. Hopefully this makes a little more sense after our study today. These gifts which could not make him who did the service perfect,
stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation.
But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle,
not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building,
neither by the blood of goats and calves,
but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean,
these only sanctified to the purifying of the flesh,
how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
For this cause Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of his death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
And so this is a catechistic lesson, so question and answer. How are almost all things are by the law purged? And how is remission accomplished?
By shedding of blood.
For all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. What therefore do we know is necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with?
By the shedding of blood.
And what of the purification of heavenly things?
They themselves are purified of better sacrifices than blood.
For did Christ enter into the holy place made with hands?
No, though the holy place made with hands are the figures of the true, it was into heaven itself he entered for us, now appearing in the presence of God.
As he, high priest, entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, it was not so that Christ should offer himself often.
For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world.
But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was the one to offer the better sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen.